You're listening to KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. Many of us have gone on some sort of a hike, and sometimes they're pretty strenuous. But the accomplishments of Gerlinde Kaltenbrunner are far beyond those 5 a.m. or weekend efforts. She became the first woman to summit all of the world's 8,000-meter peaks without supplemental oxygen. And she'll be speaking tonight at 7:30 at the Mesa Arts Center as part of the National Geographic Speaker Series. Gerlinde, you've got a great passion for climbing. You even wrote a book titled Mountains in My Heart, A Passion for Climbing. Where did that come from and how early did it start?
I started in my very young age when I was a small girl. And in the beginning, it was only hiking up the mountains. And with 13, I did my first rock climbing. And so step by step, it became my big, big passion. And I started mountaineering with the priest of my home village. He was a very enthusiastic mountaineer. And so every Sunday after the mass, we went to the mountains. So I started very early. And then, of course, I had one time the dream I would like to try an 8,000-meter peak, a 26,000-feet peak. And with the age of 23, I went for such a high mountain. And from that moment on, I was kind of infected for high mountains. Yeah, it became my big, big passion.
Is there a feeling you can describe for us, those of us who haven't either achieved those or haven't even necessarily thought we could accomplish it? Was there some feeling you had even hiking those smaller mountains that just something that you could describe that you felt either mentally or emotionally or physically?
Always a very special moment when I could move and could reach a small top in my village. The mountains are not very high, they are very, very low, but each time when I could reach the top, I was so incredibly happy, and I had the feeling of kind of freedom, I have to say. And of course, I choose then a little bit higher mountains, a little bit more difficult, but while hiking up the mountain, I could always feel a kind of stillness inside and just enjoy the beautiful nature and be outside the fresh air. All those things made me already in my childhood very happy.
How do you climb as high as you have without that supplemental oxygen? What sort of training does that require?
Not a special training for the low oxygen pressure. So I do a lot of endurance training, backcountry skiing in winter. I do ice climbing in summer, mountain running, but also bicycling, mountain biking, road biking, swimming. I have a big variation of training, 24 to 28 hours per week. But the high altitude, the low oxygen pressure, I can't train before. I have to do a very precise acclimatizing while I approach the mountain. So that's the most important, to walk slowly in the beginning. And so the body gets very well adapted to the low oxygen pressure. And of course, I have to drink really a lot to keep the blood circulation, to maintain the blood circulation. That is very, very important. And of course, it's better you are trained if you have a very strong body, so you can walk, you can climb better in high altitude than without, of course.
Well, and I would think it's also not just having a strong body. You must be so mentally strong as well.
Yeah, that's right. I think the body strength makes 50%, but 50% is your mind. Sure, I'm sure about this. So you need the real passion for those climbs, and also, of course, willpower. You need patience, but also you have to be very disciplined. You need self-reflection, calmness and serenity also in situations that seems to be hopeless. It happens sometimes. And of course, I always trust to my gut feeling. That's also very important.
Even with the mental and physical strength you have, I mean, not things are not perfect, even with all your accomplishments. Is there a dangerous experience that you had when heading to a summit? And when you had that experience, did it make you hesitate about doing it again?
Yeah, I had twice a very sad experience. One time it was on Daulagiri, a very beautiful 26,000 feet peak. I set my tent at around 21,000 feet, and in a certain moment during the morning, an avalanche hit my tent, and I went down. I was inside my tent. I went down. I don't know how far. And luckily, really luckily, I could come out of the tent. I survived, but two Spanish climbers, they couldn't make it out. So this was a very sad and bad experience. And we choose the tent place where everybody has set his tent so far since 50 years, but in that moment, an avalanche came down, and we know that there is always a certain rest of risk. I think it doesn't matter what we do in your daily life, you have a certain rest of risk, and of course also on the high mountains. And it took me quite a while till I could overcome this tragedy, I have to say. But at the end, I realized and I accepted that this has happened and I can't change it anymore. And the only thing I could do to be next time even more focused and I pay even more attention. I thought I pay already a lot of attention to all what I do, but it can happen. And I never thought that now I will stop to climb. Climbing, mountaineering is in my heart, and I think it will remain forever.
So what made you decide to take on K2, and how did it feel when you accomplished that peak?
Oh, K2 is a very special mountain for me because it took me 7 attempts till I could reach the top. So 6 times I tried from the south side, from the Pakistani side, without reaching the top. And after my 6th attempt, I wasn't sure to go back to the mountain, but I could feel that this beautiful mountain still resided in my heart. And so I went back again. And when I finally could do the last steps to the highest point of K2, it's still impossible for me to explain. It was such an intense moment. I could really feel a very, very deep stillness inside. And of course, I was so grateful to make it up to the top, and of course to make it down together with my teammates safely to base camp. That's the most important and the highest priority.
As you said, you did this for the first time at 23, and it's been a couple of decades since then with all the accomplishments you've had. What has changed about climbing in the decades as far as preparation, as far as even equipment?
Between these decades, it changed really a lot. Now we have, when I started in the beginning, I had not really very, very warm boots. In the meanwhile, we have so good warm expedition boots. For example, I have a down suit now. My first 5 or 6 expeditions I did without down suit, for example. And then there's also, I observe a big climate change also. In the beginning, for example, we had a lot of ice couloirs to climb up, like on Broad Peak, a very beautiful 26,000 feet peak in Pakistan. And when I came back to this mountain 13 years later, this ice couloir didn't exist anymore. Can you imagine? And also the last 6-7 years, we face a lot of rock fall. This changed a lot of ice fall. The temperature gets warmer. And so, yeah, we can observe a big change. And all those things make climbing in high altitude not easier.